Welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel with Ruthie C. This half hour is presented by the Florida Department of Health in Escambia County, who is responsible for the information and opinions expressed during the show.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Ruthie C. Happy Monday, and thank you so much for hanging out with me here on the Pensacola Expert Panel. I am joined now by Marie Mott of the Department of Health here in Escambia County. Good morning, Marie.
Good morning, Ruthie. Good to see you.
So nice to see you, too. It's always a pleasure to have you in to hear what's going on with the Department of Health and what I was speaking a little earlier with Mr. Malcolm Ballinger about how we probably all need to re-engage with the fact that the election was important and there's also still a pandemic going on. So I know that's not the only thing we're here to talk about this morning, but always glad to get your perspective on these things.
Well, thank you. And you know, normally I have a sidekick or some support. This morning, I'm flying solo this morning, but definitely have things to talk about. And wow, where to start? So pandemic is, yes, we're still dealing with COVID-19. I think that, you know, we need to continue to be vigilant. I think that's just gonna be my key message for a while, is not to get complacent with our behaviors. The prevention measures that we have are what we have, and it's what we've been talking about for the last several months. So I really do want to encourage people to, I know it's hard, I know it's exhausting, but to continue to practice prevention as much as possible. The State Surgeon General still has us under a public health advisory, and really encouraging us to, number one, be very aware and protective of our vulnerable populations, older adults, for example, people with severe medical conditions. So do what we can to protect them if we're not one of those people. And if we are, to do what we can to protect ourselves. The other is, you know, continue those practices of social distancing, wearing masks, and staying 6 feet apart. And not congregating, I guess, is the other part of that, where you don't need to. So, you know, one of the things that I think maybe we've gotten a little bit complacent with is wearing the mask correctly.
Oh, yes. I've seen lots of variations on the theme of the mask.
Right. So, you know, a mask that covers mouth and nose is important, and to make sure that, you know, when we're basically around other people, wearing a mask. And that's really not only something that helps you, it helps the other person as well. So there's some protective benefit to you for wearing a mask, but it really is more for the other person. So that's important. There was something else I was going to say about corona and protection. Oh, vulnerable populations, we talked about not congregating. So maybe I've covered all of those things. Another important thing people can do right now to protect themselves from respiratory illnesses in general is get a flu shot. So definitely want to see, or hopefully would see people getting their flu shot this year. It, you know, protects them from flu, but also from, you know, if they were to catch flu and be exposed to COVID-19, you know, there's a little bit of extra comorbidity there associated with already being run down with one virus, trying to have a hard time maybe fighting off the second one. So
yeah, absolutely. You don't want to have a double whammy for you there.
Right.
Well, I want to take a moment to welcome a caller to the show. We have Bruce from Gulf Breeze. Good morning and welcome to the Pensacola Expert Panel. Do you have a question for Marie Mott?
Yeah, I do. Thanks. And good morning. Great show this morning. Curious about the immunity time frame. For those of us that have contracted coronavirus and are now beyond the infection, what are the experts saying about the immunity period? I've heard anywhere from 90 days to 1 year. So just curious what the health department's putting out.
And that is a good question. You know, just kind of as the underlying information, COVID-19 or this virus is what we call a novel virus. So we've known about it for not quite a year, really, and we're really learning more about it every day. So currently the guidance is not really knowing if there's true full immunity, but any antibody presence being seen for about maybe 90 days. So I think there's not really a guarantee that if you've had it, that you're fully protected, but maybe have a little bit less of a concern in that first few months. But I would continue to recommend, again, because we know so little about this virus and what it truly confers, you know, in terms of immunity once you've been exposed, to continue to practice those measures and talk to your physician about what your risks are and what your risks to other people are.
Thank you so very much. Appreciate that. So,
thank you for the question. That was a really good question.
Yes, thank you so much for calling.
So
good to know. So again, if you know, if you are, even if you've already been through it and it's run its course, like you said, Marie, we just don't know. We're not sure. And so why be sorry if you can be safe?
Yeah, there's still, you know, things we're learning, new things every day about the course of this virus and its impact. So just be as protective as possible. I should probably keep my water handy for whatever reason. I'm a little phlegmy this morning.
You know, so. I think there must be something blooming. We'll have to ask Mike Wiggins on the Garden Line tomorrow, what is blooming? But I think everyone's got a little bit of this like coughing, itching stuff going on, which of course in a pandemic is not what anybody really wants to be dealing with. But I love what you were saying right before we got the call that, you know, classic way to protect yourself if you haven't already done so is go ahead and get your flu shot. So that's one less thing that you would have to worry about.
Yes, please. Flu shot. Anyone 6 months and older, we're recommending getting a flu shot. If you have concerns or questions, again, consult with your primary care physician in case you are concerned there is a contraindication. There's, I think, very few and far between for most people. We can get a flu shot. Pregnant women, this is one of the things that I really learned a lot about back when I was having babies. You know, vaccinating a mother not only protects the mother, and sometimes pregnant women are at high risk for certain things such as flu, or high risk for complications related to flu, I should say. But it also gives some protection to the baby. So a newborn baby really is not recommended to get a flu shot until they're 6 months of old, 6 months of age. So so you have that gap from birth to 6 months. But if the mom has had a flu shot, and particularly later in pregnancy, then that baby is going to have some immunity from the mom from that flu shot.
I love that. So you can sort of bridge that gap where after the baby's born, where it's not time yet, but you can help extend that protection. That's really important and great to know. So don't let that stop you.
Right. And there's a lot of places you can go now to get flu vaccines. So usually primary cares are providing them. We provide it at the health department, especially for children. And most of your, you know, commercial pharmacies, grocery stores with pharmacies, big box stores with pharmacies, the Walmart, Target, Sam's, Publix, CVS, Walgreens, you name it. They are provided, a lot of them will have vaccines available. So one of the things you can do that's really easy is go to vaccinefinder.org. It's a website, and you can find who's got flu vaccine or who usually gives flu vaccine. And it'll tell you, you know, call them and check and make sure that they have stuff in stock before you go. But it really does help you look geographically in your community, you know, where you might run in and grab a flu shot real quick. So that's very helpful. Another thing is we are having a drive-through flu for you, if I'm going to make it rhyme, but
a
drive-through flu clinic on the Wednesday, I think it's the 19th of November. We're planning it at our downtown center. Oh, it's the 18th. Wednesday, the 18th of November. And I believe that's going to start around 10 o'clock in the morning. We'll be getting more details out soon on that. And it's going to be a drive-through vaccination. So this is going to be for adults only. We normally do vaccinate children, and we do that in our clinic, but you know, children and shots usually are not a happy mixture. And so I think trying to vaccinate a child in a car is a little bit challenging. So we're just going to stick with adults for this.
That's a nice word for it, Marie. Challenging. We don't want to send anyone into a tailspin. So you can do the drive-through, show your kiddo how quick and easy it is, and then maybe they can get theirs inside the clinic at
right.
another time.
Yeah, they could come in another time or go to their pediatrician, or again, lots of opportunities to get flu shots in our community. So that is going to be, like I said, Wednesday the 18th. We'll be putting out a lot more information on that as we get closer to the date. And we'll have that on our website, escambiahealth.com. We'll also probably have it on our Twitter feed. So you can follow us on Twitter at Healthy Escambia and get all the latest updates on what we've got going on in public health. And you know, plan to come by and see us. It's going to be a while. Supplies last, you know, thing. So I would say get there early, and we're going to try to see how, you know, how the drive-through flu works for the community. So we're excited to try that out.
I love that. Quick and easy. Don't have to get out of the car, socially distant, you know, everything. One stop, barely a stop.
Right. Hopefully it will be, you know, smooth transition.
Yeah.
So there'll be a little bit of intake and then, you know, in one spot, and then you'll move on to a nurse who will give you a shot and you just mosey on.
Think so. Like if Chick-fil-A ran a flu shot, then is that the goal?
And that's really funny because when we were having our planning meeting, we said, you know, let's think like Chick-fil-A style.
They really have it figured out. Oh, that's awesome.
So yeah, so the intake should be kind of, you know, before you get into the main lineup, and then hopefully it'll be the intakes takes longer than the shot. So we're trying to really work on how to make that more efficient.
That's great. So if you haven't had a chance yet in the community, you know, to stop by, or as you're out doing your shopping, of course, like you mentioned, Marie, there's tons of places that advertise it. I think Winn-Dixie was doing them, like anywhere with a pharmacy probably is offering it. But if that doesn't work out, or you're thinking, you know, you're out and about on Wednesday the 18th, then here's this other opportunity. So that's great. We'll make sure to post some details about that too, so everyone can know. Drive-through flu for you. I
yes.
like it.
That's going to be at our downtown office on Gregory Street. So, like I said, we'll get more of those details out the closer we get. We're excited about it. And again, you know, your other resource for getting a flu shot is that vaccinefinder.org. You can put in your zip code and it'll pop up all the locations closest to that zip code or in that zip code that offer flu shots.
So good. And I know the last time you were here, we started to talk a little bit about hepatitis, and I know we wanted to come back to that topic since it is a relevant one for our community. Are there any updates or kind of a deeper dive that we want to take into that today?
Yeah, I do want to talk a little bit about that. So hepatitis is it's a liver disease. HEPA means liver, and itis means inflammation. So when you put those two together, hepatitis, you see a disease or inflammation of the liver. And there are several kinds. But for the past year and a half, 2 years in Florida, we've been in a state of public health emergency for hepatitis A. So that is one of the types that we actually can vaccinate against. But the other piece of that is that it's easily transmissible and it's very contagious. So I think a lot of babies and young children as part of the infant and childhood vaccine regimen now, but for somebody my age, it was not. So, you know, kind of knowing if you've been vaccinated is important, and if you haven't, getting vaccinated is important. And knowing how it's transmitted is also important. So there's two ways you can get hepatitis A. One is by sharing certain body fluids. So it can be transmitted similarly to like HIV with, you know, sharing a needle, certain sexual contacts, things like that. But also if somebody's infected with hepatitis A, it gets passed out of their body in their poop. And so hand washing is very important in this respect. So, you know, I know a lot of people wash their hands well, but not everybody does. So if you just think about somebody that has hepatitis A going into the bathroom, using the bathroom, not washing their hands, and then they, you know, touch the doorknob on the way out, and then they stop at the vending machine and they buy a drink, and they touch the vending machine, and then they go sign in somewhere and, you know, use a community pen or pencil to do that, and then you, who are a good hand washer, come behind them and touch the doorknob, touch the vending machine, touch the pencil, that kind of thing, then you've picked up the germs. And then maybe you have an itchy nose and you rub your nose, or you feel like you got a crumb on your lip, and so you try to rub it off, and, you know, you put your hand to your nose or mouth, and then you have potentially given yourself hepatitis A.
So, oh, no.
And it's kind of, it kind of gives you the heebie-jeebies to think about it that way, because, you know, even though you're washing your hands, you just can't rely that everybody else has, and hopefully people are. And this is one of those things that hand sanitizer doesn't work against. So really, the soap and water hand washing is important for preventing the spread of hepatitis A. But the other piece of that is getting vaccinated. So even if you're a good hand washer, getting vaccinated can be very helpful, because, like I said, not everybody always is.
Yes, and I'm glad you said that. You know, in a year where I think we've all learned more about contact tracing and being aware that other people's hygiene habits can really very seriously impact your own health, this is just another example of that. So if you already were getting, like we were talking about before, just staying vigilant for COVID, but there are plenty of other reasons why that good old-fashioned soap and water, I'm glad you mentioned that the hand sanitizer for some things, you know, and of course I would imagine better than nothing, but in particular for hepatitis A, the hot soapy water just makes sure that you are doing your part so that you know, we can maybe contain this. It's been, how long did you say this has been going on in the state of Florida?
It's been going on in the state of Florida since mid to late 2018.
Oh my goodness.
We fortunately have not had major problems in this part of the state until recently. So we are seeing it rise in our area, really kind of starting midsummer. And so we're really trying to kind of, you know, put a quash on it as much as we can. So again, getting vaccinated, and you can, like I said earlier, for flu, you can go to vaccinefinder.org and you can put in hepatitis A vaccine and your zip code, and you can add flu vaccine to it, and they'll pop up and tell you what, you know, stores in the area offer both of those vaccines if you want to get both of those. We do offer it at the health department as well, and that one is actually a walk-in offering, so you don't even need an appointment. Most of our vaccines you do, but you could walk in and just say, I'd really like a hepatitis A vaccine today, and they'll get you in and out as quickly as they can. We had an outreach this past weekend in the community, trying to offer those out to the community, and you know, we're able to give some people vaccines there. So really trying to make sure that it's as available as possible to people. Hepatitis B is also, by the way, something you can get vaccinated for as well. And again, you can get those most commercial pharmacies, private physicians may or may not offer it. It's always good to ask. If you're in for primary care, you can ask about it. And the health department as well. That one does require appointment for hepatitis B, but not for hepatitis A.
Gotcha. And so you were saying before that at some point this started being required for kids. Is that right? So is that something more like, how would you know, I guess, if you're not intimately familiar with your vaccination record? Is there an easy way to know, or would getting it again be a bad idea?
Well, if you get it again, it's not going to hurt you.
Okay.
You know, if you're not sure if you've had it, and there's no way to find out if you've had it, it's not going to hurt you to have another one. If you've been exposed, it's definitely a good idea to get it. You don't always know when you're exposed, but it's one of those things you don't have to worry about whether or not it's going to hurt you to get it if you have been exposed, because it's not. You know, generally you could start with the 20-year age and kind of go over under there. That's kind of the cusp. So, like, I know, like, my 10-year-old kid has had it.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
But it's the older teens, the young adults that are kind of in that iffy period.
Gotcha. But good to know. It won't hurt if you decide to go ahead and just cover yourself, do it again. And like you said, no appointment necessary. So I love that. It sounds like the health department is really doing a great job of, like you said, just trying to like quash this while we can. It's already been going on in the state for long enough. It's a known issue here. One more time for us all to work together and keep ourselves and each other safe.
Right. Yeah. It certainly hasn't risen to the level of what some of the communities in South Florida have experienced, but I really would like for it to not.
Yes. We don't have to do that. We can learn.
So please consider getting vaccinated for hepatitis A and wash your hands with soap and water, you know, before you eat and after you go to the bathroom, and don't touch your face. I mean, we hear this for a lot of things. Flu, corona, it works for hepatitis too.
That's right. Don't touch your face. I hadn't heard that one in a while because I think a lot of people got onto the mask thing, but just be, and then you're touching your mask too. So, you know, it's all part of it together. Before we get too close to the top of the hour, Marie, I wanted to give a chance to talk about the diabetes prevention that is very relevant right now in particular.
Okay, great. Yeah, we'll talk a little bit about that too. So November is Diabetes Awareness Month, and one of the programs that we have been had in place at the health department for probably 3 or 4 years now, kind of lost track of when we started it, is the CDC's Prevent Type 2 or Prevent T2 Diabetes Prevention Program. It's typically like a year-long program. It starts off with some weekly meetings, and then it expands the intervals to about once a month toward the later part of the year. And, you know, since on the advent of COVID, we've suspended the in-person meetings, but we're working really hard to get some online and virtual support for people. And so we're really excited to say that we'll be starting up some kind of a more programmatic approach to that in January. And so you can watch our website for information on that as well. So escambiahealth.com, we have under our programs and services, under wellness programs, we have a diabetes prevention program information. And we'll also have that on Twitter and probably on the front page of our website at some point to link you through to that.
Awesome. And so that is from the CDC, the Prevent Type 2 Diabetes Program. So is that just for anyone who's interested? Is that for people who are at risk?
That's another good question. So yes, it's really for people that do not have diabetes. I do believe that they have, we've had people in the cohorts that do have diabetes or other similar risks. It's usually a little cohort group. Like, you kind of start at the beginning of the 12-month period, and it's not always January, with a group of people. And so you kind of get to know these people, and it's kind of like a support group type program where you share information and ideas. But there's kind of a, you can go on our website and you can take the risk test, and it's about a 7-question quiz. It relates to how old you are, if you're male or female, have you ever had gestational diabetes, high blood pressure, have you ever had a parent or sibling, close relative with diabetes, are you physically active, and kind of what your weight status is. And for that, they give you kind of a reference chart to know. And then you add up the points based on the quiz, and it'll give you an index score. And if you score 5 or higher, you're considered to be at risk. So it doesn't mean you have it, but you're at risk. And this program has been shown to reduce risk. A lot of people have lost some weight, reduced their blood pressure. So there's been a lot of positive impacts on this program. It's evidence-based.
That's so awesome. So that's available. EscambiaHealth.com is the place to go. Well, thank you so much, Marie.
Well, thank you. I had a great time today.